All right, it's another edition of Derailed. I've lost. I think this is
what
11.
Number? 11?
Yeah, it is 11.
Okay. Yeah.
We keep moving around. We've gone from the Maze Cave to the Chandelier.
What is this? Lair?
I don't know.
Like, mine is a lair. Is yours a cave?
Is just, yeah. I don't know. This is just one room. I mean, this,
right.
This is all.
But it looks out over the Schuylkill River out there. If it was daylight, it's nice. It's a nice view here.
Yeah, I pay for the view. I don't pay for the space or anything like that.
Right.
All right, so we've got a couple of things to really look at with the Philadelphia Eagles. The season's over.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start, man? I feel like, for me, this is a difference. You've been doing this, 15 years, Philadelphia Radio?
Yeah, well, 13 plus, okay. Actually, in Philly.
So, think about this. Every single year except last year, the season has fallen short.
Mm-hmm.
It's been Super Bowl. We want a Super Bowl. And then when it has fallen short, fire this guy, get rid of this
right.
guy, trade this guy. This has been the first time, I think, ever. Is that a change? I feel like it's a change.
Well, I think so, too, although I kind of stayed away from the blogs and sports radio today for some reason, the day after the season's over.
Yeah.
I had a lot of stuff to do. And the thing that came to my mind was that if there was no Super Bowl victory last season...
Yeah.
Alshon Jeffrey would be getting carted out of town on a rail for letting that ball slip through his hands, which should have been an easy reception and a first down.
Yeah.
And the Eagles possibly score and win the football game right
it's
there.
Crazy, huh?
I mean, that's just nuts. Now, you know, I know he took ownership of it and he blamed himself and he let his teammates down and he let the fan base down and all that. And the reaction that I saw on social media was like, hey, man, don't worry about it, Alshon. You're my guy, kind of thing. Like, you know, it's okay. That's a totally different, polar opposite reaction.
Absolutely.
To what we would have had the Eagles not had a Super Bowl.
Right. And I wonder if there are guys who, I don't know, played in the first Super Bowl, like the most recent Super Bowl before last year, who are looking at this like
McNabb.
Yeah. That's exactly what
right,
I'm thinking
right.
of. And Donovan McNabb's watching this and seeing a guy in Alshon Jeffrey getting praised and mm-hmm. loved. Like, I played on a broken ankle,
right.
threw four touchdowns, didn't win a Super Bowl, and they wanted me out. Like, it didn't matter what I did. Dude.
Right.
I wouldn't be shocked if there's a little jealousy.
Oh, no question about it. No question. The thing that I just keep wondering about and have been wondering about since the Super Bowl last year was, what is Carson Wentz thinking? I would love to just know. You know, because here he's out there watching Nick Foles.
Right.
And had Jeffrey caught that ball, I don't know, do they score a touchdown? There's a good chance that they continue that drive and score a touchdown, take the lead and win,
yeah.
and get to an NFC title game for the second straight year.
Do you think he was rooting against the team?
No, I don't
Aaron
think. Knows. No, I
you
don't.
Think he was
but I'm just
the team.
That's got to be a torturous thing for him, because he knows, like, if Foles got him to the title game, there's a chance he gets to another Super Bowl. What do you do with the guy? Like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You talk about conflicted.
Don't you think the contrast is also true now? As soon as Foles is gone,
mm-hmm.
that kid is going to just exhale, like, you know.
Right, because he looks at Sudfeld, and he's like, all
right,
yeah.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. So,
just fill in whatever exhale analogy you want. There's going to be as big of an exhale as it is.
Right. What was his name? Nate Sudfeld, right?
Correct.
There won't be another BDN.
No.
It's not... Big Dick Nate.
No.
You know, it was like Big Dick Nick.
Right.
He's gone. Right.
It's Small Sudfeld.
Exactly. Yes.
Exactly right. But you're, you know, I think.
You know what I mean?
That's the wide range of emotion for Carson Wentz. I think you nailed it, which is, as tight as he was this year with Nick Foles, and then of all things, he gets hurt again, and he sees the whole thing play out. It's got to be out there. I mean, people were joking, like, the stress was causing him. Whatever that was.
Oh, the ingrown hair thing on his neck. He's got those, like, they almost look like blisters or something. Like, it's not a good look. I know there was a lot of people on social media taking shots at him.
Well, let me ask you this. Didn't Mark McGwire have that?
Yeah, I think a lot of gingers. And maybe it's a ginger thing.
Yeah.
It's like a facial hair ginger thing, maybe.
If you have red hair, does it struggle to grow, like, when you shave?
I don't know. I haven't shaved in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, but your hair's not red.
No.
But you're right. There is something about the red hair thing. I mean,
maybe.
I'll get them every now and again.
Sure.
But it's rare. But not to the point in which people were joking, like, it was hives.
Yeah, I know.
From stress.
Right.
that he was so
somebody said it was
out.
Herpes. Well, I mean, it's not herpes. The guy never even had sex until what, this past summer.
Yeah,
he got married.
This isn't Ron Mexico.
Right, right.
I think we know what's going on.
Or Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That or as well.
Yeah.
You think he's got herpes?
No.
Is it a given?
Who?
Well, Vic, yes. That was
That was public knowledge,
Jeremy,
right?
You think Jeremy does?
Probably.
Yeah, I would think so.
Probably. Valtrex or whatever. He probably has a...
You think he's got just a cabinet full of it?
Sure.
Just old prescriptions?
Right.
All right, we'll just write this one, paste it over the new one. It's a safe bet. So, I don't know if there was any other scenario outside of making the Super Bowl. Foles comes back, that's fine. But we know now that it's Carson moving forward.
Yeah.
There is something, though, about this two-year stretch will never be duplicated, nor has it been anything we've ever been through. Nick Foles doing what he did last year in the Super Bowl and then coming back and falling short, mind you, but winning a playoff game with help, because he didn't play great, but being part of a winner in a playoff game, think about that story.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, I know he's already written a book, but you could write another one.
Yeah.
You really could.
Or just about something different.
And about the game, I mean, it couldn't have started any better. You know, they get the defensive play from LeBlanc, who has absolutely been unbelievable. The transformation that he has made since week 11 to yesterday. I mean, the guy looks like he's a player. Like, he's a guy you want to keep around.
Yep.
And they get the touchdown. Jordan Matthews, you know, is wide open. Nick lofts the ball to him, throws him open, as Charles Davis said. And then they get the other touchdown where you're like, I guess it was Foles that ran it in from about the one foot line. You're like, they're up 14-0 on the road at New Orleans. That building was in total shock.
It was silent.
Drew Brees looked a little panicked.
Yeah. Half the people were in Bourbon Street by that point.
Right. I mean,
they're out.
I mean, the Saints offense couldn't have been more out of sync. They had him where they want him, and they're driving again, and he underthrows Ertz with the interception, a tremendous play by the cornerback. And all of a sudden, the momentum changed. Yep. And then New Orleans had that ball. You know, you felt it was 14-10, but you're like, man, this doesn't feel like 14-10. This feels like New Orleans is about to just, you know,
erupt
right? They get the ball in the third quarter, and it seemed like they had the ball for the entire third quarter. They drive for that touchdown, take the 17-14 lead, and you're like, uh-oh, here we go.
And you think to yourself, Nick Foles is going to have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And even still, and it's not a total blame Alshon Jeffrey by any means, but that offense still, think about that, as bad as they played, as bad as they looked, where after the 14 points, nothing happened.
Yeah.
They were still in a position.
Yeah.
Still in a position to win that.
To win the game on the road against the Saints, the number one seed in the NFC. It's pretty remarkable. And then you think about after Lutz missed that kick, you're like, oh boy, the Eagles still have life. Yeah. You know what I mean? That kick puts it to 23-14. Then you're in a really, you know, you're in a really bad spot. But it was the only win I had on the whole weekend. Eagles plus the 8 actually covered the number because Lutz misses the field goal and went 1-3. Just housed in the other game. Did you?
Yeah. My hit, the only hit I had was the Patriots game.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. I was on the Chargers.
No doubt in my mind that they were going to clear that one, but everything else was just miserable because we were at Parks Casino on Saturday.
Had a blast, by the way.
That's amazing.
That's a great spot.
I can see how somebody could get addicted to
Me
that.
Too. Just yeah, I'm already, there. I already am.
I know, I just want to go back.
I know.
Get the call soon because I could easily do that every single week. But, you know, let me ask you this, because now we move forward, and we already mentioned Nick Foles is gone, J.H.I., there are a bunch of names that are going to be gone.
Maybe Jason Kelce retires. You know, maybe Sproles. Yeah. What happens with Sproles? Peters.
Sproles has to be gone. Right?
Jason Peters, too. I mean, does he come back?
I would think that would be.
Brandon Brooks with the big Achilles injury. That
eight
was
8 or 9 months, at least.
That was sad to see.
Brandon Graham, there's another Brandon who's most likely out
from, right,
you know, a contract standpoint. But there was this tweet that I saw earlier from Jeff Mosher on Monday, the day they were shooting this. And it was interesting because it was like he was talking to players, and the general belief from people on the Eagles is that them talking to their players, their, you know, co-workers, if you will, not on the Eagles, but fellow players around the league, is that people want to play for Doug.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I don't, first off, I don't know how true that is. You know, I believe Jeff was told that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how true that is. But if it is true, which I could see it because he's such an easygoing guy, mm-hmm. do you think it's more the Super Bowl? Like, dude, we'll play for a guy who's won a Super Bowl. Or you really think that there is something about that?
I think it's a little bit both because you just see the way he was with the Philly special where he takes the opinion of some of his player, his quarterback. Hey, let's do this.
Yep.
Let's run this. And he doesn't have the ego, which is like Chip Kelly or, you know, where this is my offense. I call the plays. You know, you just take orders from me. He's not that guy. He's the total opposite of that.
Ask anybody what
plays. No. And I think that really appeals to players. And then when you add in the fact that, hey, you know, two of the 3 years that he's been here as a head football coach, he's been to the playoffs and he's won a Super Bowl. And the next year he won a playoff game. I mean, you know, people want to go to winners and they want to go to organization. I think the whole organization has a very good sort of reputation around the league as far as being a really good place to be.
Now, that's new, though. I think up until the last, maybe even before.
Well, with Andy Reid, it was like that too. Yeah. I mean, Andy Reid was a guy that
but
players
there was chaos above like Reed.
There was with Joe Banner and the you know the management and so
and
forth.
Then and then
and then the whole thing like dipped big time, where it looked like dysfunction junction with Chip Kelly and that whole thing. But it has totally rebounded. And you got to give Jeffrey Lurie a lot of credit for that. You know, he brought back Howie Roseman, reestablished a structure, brought in some football guys with him, hires Doug Peterson, who nobody else was even interviewing. Right. And we were thinking, like, well, how hot of a commodity can he be? Nobody else wants to talk to him.
Yep.
He ends up being the right guy.
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to that.
And yeah.
If I'm a free agent, and especially if I'm a wide receiver,
yeah,
there are two things I'm looking at. Speed guy that you know the Eagles will want to target, or anybody, depending on what happens. First, Carson Wentz comes back.
Mm-hmm.
He's healthy. He's got a hell of an arm. I know he was hurt this year. He still had a good year. It wasn't a great year, but he had a good year.
Right.
But there's still, like we were told with Alshon Jeffrey, Mike Wallace, mm-hmm. hey, I want to play here. I want to play with Carson Wentz.
Jeffrey took the one-year deal, bet on himself.
Absolutely.
You know?
So I don't know why that would change where Carson Wentz comes back and shows he can throw a football, where all of a sudden people would be like, oh, well, I wanted to play with him last year or 2 years
no,
ago.
No, no.
But now I don't. So you have that. And then I also think that this is something that we may gloss over because we were caught in the moment of it, but the treatment of a guy like Alshon Jeffrey. Alshon's not Brian Westbrook, Donovan McNabb. Alshon's not Jeremiah Trotter. Alshon's not somebody who spent a long time here. Brian Dawkins. Mm-hmm. He's not one of these guys.
Right.
He's not even somebody like Jason Peters or, you know, somebody along those lines. Malcolm's been here a little bit longer still, but not forever. And I think that the treatment of a guy like Alshon Jeffrey after a major mishap like mm-hmm. that goes a mile.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a great spot. I think that, you know, Carson Wentz coming back fully healthy with, another year of, you know, rehabbing and rehabilitating that knee.
Yeah.
The back thing gets straightened out with time and rest. I think he'll be fine. I'd really want to see them invest in the running game for next season, whether, you know, a draft pick, mid-round, second round, whatever it is. They need to get a running back, a young guy that they can grow with. And, you know, instead of, now, good on them that they've hit on some of these undrafted free agent guys, you know, but I don't think you can just survive on that. I'd like to see them invest in a running back.
Wendell Smallwood's only...
He actually looked half decent in the first quarter of that game yesterday.
He did. He's the only guy who played all 16 games this year.
Yeah.
And that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
So to address that and maybe others, I think what's going to happen is the Eagles will pick up Foles' option and trade him.
I would think so.
Right?
Now he could...
And then he can sign an extension when he gets to his new team.
But he could buy out of that, though, by paying them back, what, $2 million
right.
and become a free agent and go
right.
wherever he wants,
but that
basically.
$18 million that's left over doesn't go against the cap.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, the Eagles would not get anything back for him
in
that way.
No, so
it's a little tricky.
It is tricky,
yeah.
But I think that if they exercise, well, they could always franchise him, too.
They could.
Pay him an extra $5 million and move a $25 million contract to a guy who would be motivated to sign an extension at 30, 31.
Right.
So I think that's what's most likely to happen. But that begs the question, and I think you're onto something because you can look at certain areas. Like, the Eagles are going to get something back for Nick Foles. He was not great this year. Nick Foles was good.
He was good.
He wasn't great. But
he was great against the Texans.
I agree.
That was an outstanding performance.
And I think he played well against the Rams.
Played well against the Rams, right. Yeah.
And listen,
yesterday was okay.
I mean, who cares about that shit?
Yeah.
But that's the point, is that this one specifically is, all right, what would you like to get back? Because let's remember, we're talking about a guy who's still 30, mm-hmm. came off winning a Super Bowl 2 years ago. There are people that out there that believe he can be a starter. So if you're trading him to New York, if you're trading him to Washington, if you're trading
Jacksonville.
Him, Jacksonville's another one. If you're anyone that you can fill in, running back, wide receiver, mm-hmm. draft picks,
right.
cornerback.
Yeah.
Aren't you looking at one of those four areas?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know, and it doesn't matter once you move him, but I don't know that Nick Foles succeeds in a lot of places. I think this is kind of a perfect spot for him with this offense.
What do you think is going to happen to him after? Well, I mean, that's interesting in its own right. Should we put Mosher on live?
Yeah, let's do it. He's calling me right now?
Yeah, he is. Should we put him on?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Because he's the one about the whole thing with Doug Peterson. You just want to hear what he has to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
Well, you never. This isn't going to be as
live.
Entertaining as. Hey.
Yo.
So. I'm sitting here right now next to Harry Mays. The cameras are rolling. The audio is rolling. And we're in the middle of Derailed 11.
See, this is where we need a graphic to come up.
It will come up.
With Moshe's picture,
it will come up.
His Twitter handle, and, you know, something else, you know, all the places that he's working.
We'll put that in the editing process.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But you're live on Derailed.
Seriously, on your show?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, no, here's why. Here's why. See, Harry may not even have realized this, but when you called, I asked, and he said, yeah, put him on. But now, this is the benefit of it. You have technically guested on this show to where we can tag you on Twitter
right.
and get the benefit of your 60,000 followers.
Right. How much you got to make it for the show?
Well, we're at my house right now.
So nothing.
Yeah, no, yeah. No. Sometimes people pay us to show up, but it's few and far between.
I get a contact high for free, though, Jeff.
I bet you do.
Well, see, I was cooking chicken tonight, right? And there was...
Is that
So when I was in college, I used to call burning CDs, right? That was the code, because everybody's paranoid, right?
Right.
So if you wanted to buy weed, you'd have to tell this one kid who lived in one of the fraternity houses, yo, let me come over and burn some CDs. So... We had a mutual friend, and I was in a bind. I needed something, right? So I texted him back and forth. I was like, all right, man, I'm going to come over. I'm going to burn some CDs. Like, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'll just come your way. He came over with an entire book of CDs and blanks, expecting to actually burn them. So you're not alone in the miscommunication here.
That's one hell of a story.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's what happens. That's what happens when you get a contact high and derail. Well, it's up to Harry. He's the one who initiated this conversation. Do you have anything to say to Jeff?
No.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Guys. Take care.
Are you happy?
And what was that? He was calling, obviously, for a reason.
Yeah, well, you know, Jeff and I are involved in...
You got other business ventures going on. There's
either something... Well, we do the show For the Record with Brian Westbrook.
Right.
And we also have... I don't know, four or five different things that we both are down, like you. We do stuff with 97.3 mm-hmm. now, so he could be calling about
Yeah, that. And by the way, you got to download that 97.3 ESPN app.
That's right.
Okay.
973ESPN.com/app.
And here's the thing. I got the okay today, actually, a confirmation. I had to give some information to the folks down there because I'm going to the Super Bowl, and so are you.
This
the two of us.
News.
This is breaking
this
news.
This is huge right here.
I spent 13 years on a radio station in Philadelphia. There was a Super Bowl in New York City a few years ago, which
there.
Is 2 hours away, tops, right? The Eagles were actually in one last year in Minnesota. I went to no Super Bowls. I did no Radio Row Super Bowls.
A
couple Final
first?
Fours. This is the first one that I will ever be a part of. And it was 4 months after leaving a top six market radio station. And I don't even officially work for 97.3.
No.
ESPN.
No.
Right?
Neither do I. I just filled out paperwork so I can get paid every
I don't even know that I filled out paperwork.
No.
But I'm going to the Super Bowl.
Yep, you and I.
How about
news.
That?
Now, is it? Let me ask you this. I was going to say Mays and Shander, mm-hmm. but going to the Super Bowl, like, how do you want to brand breaking the news? Like Mays and Eitan? I feel like that's how people know you and that's how people know me, right? As opposed to like Harry
and Eitan and Mays. I think that sounds good.
Okay.
That sounds better.
I was
better.
Giving you. Nah,
that sounds better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Eitan and Mays?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're like the, you know, it's like John and the Animal.
Yeah.
Like the random show.
So you're saying we got to come up with one of those hokey radio
show
names.
I was just about to be like one of those shows in Cincinnati.
Right.
The number three show in Cincinnati.
Right.
Is John and the Animal.
Right.
And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm ready, man. I'm ready to go. No, I think much higher.
Mike and the Mad Dog. Yeah, right.
Do they still sing? Well, do they still have the same
I think they still have the same kind of jingle for Mike Francesa's show. It's a similar jingle.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Very old school.
It is old school.
Yeah.
It's got to be updated.
Mike's On or something, I think they might call it.
Well, what was the show initially called? Remember, there was a show that he had initially that was called Mike Something. And
Mike'd Up.
Yes, but it conflicted with something else.
Oh, okay.
So it was hilarious because if you ever heard the intro song, it was like, Mike'd Up, he's ready to go on the fan, New York, right?
Right.
And then there was this whole thing, like, I think Raceman up there, you know.
Bob Raceman. Yeah,
Bob Raceman, media critic.
Who's the other guy? Mushnick.
Phil. But I think he does more than just media, right?
Yeah.
Raceman, I think.
He's great.
Yeah, Mushnick is yeah.
Yeah, those guys are awesome.
So it was this huge thing, and they had to change it, but all they did was change the one word.
Oh.
So it's like, Mike's on.
He's ready to go.
Who thought, come on.
We should get a corny jingle for the Derailed show.
I'm sure we can.
Yeah.
You know what? We should put that out on Twitter.
We should.
We should. Now, I don't want to give a sample, though. I just want to leave it wide open for people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't need a sample for Mike's On or something like that as a jingle. You just want to open it up and say.
But I like the old school jingle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the commercial.
Right.
Now, what was what was your favorite? I mean, do you have...
What, on a commercial?
Yeah, I mean, there's the Kit Kat, right? Give me a break.
Yeah, that's good. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
I mean, you know... And
what's the Can't Get Enough of That Sugar, Chris? Is that the
Is that
cereal?
A cereal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I used to... All the cereals, all the chocolate and all that sugar crap. I knew all the jingles for that. Anything bad. I don't know, I mean... Jingles, though, I feel like, yeah, I guess there's a lot of new crap out there, too.
They're kind of going by the wayside.
Well, a lot of times what happens is people will use music.
Right, now.
Because there's, like, a certain amount of music you can use before you have to pay these huge royalties.
Right.
So that's why I see them, like, the car commercials or the Pepsi commercials or whatever.
Well, and that was also back in the day where the musicians, who are now these guys in their 70s, would never sell out.
Right.
You know, back in the 70s, if you sold your song... You know, like The Who,
yep.
You know, selling a riff to a car company to sell a freaking automobile. They would have been crucified by their colleagues in the music industry for selling out.
Yep.
Now everybody does it. It's you know, they finally realize, sell out, I can make $1 million by just giving a song. I don't even have to do a new song. I can just allow them to use this song.
Right.
20, 45 seconds of, you know, Bob O'Reilly and I get checks.
Now, has that helped or hurt the genre?
I think it's helped.
Because what's modern rock?
I don't even know what it is.
What's the evolution of Zeppelin and anybody else that would be like 70s, even into 80s rock?
It's kind of dead. But I think some of that stuff is keeping those groups relevant, and some young people are turned on. Hey, that's a cool song.
Right, because they're still playing the same instruments and everything, putting together a sound, which just sounds so much different. But that's how rap music was too, where you would just any offer or anything that you would get, like the fact that there would be a hip hop song in a McDonald's commercial that you would hear now, that's as far as like natural and normal as anything, was such a foreign idea 20 years ago.
Right.
Because part of it was like a message. And I think with rock, there's a message of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And with rap, it was a message of, you know, fight the power type shit as
right.
well. Like same end, different means.
Well, plus most of those rap songs aren't ready to play on
right.
you know, regular
right.
TV because of the language.
Absolutely. So yeah. you would have people would even making a radio edit was mm-hmm. looked at times as like a sellout. Oh,
right.
you're just trying to get spins.
Yeah, you want to get airplay.
Exactly,
yeah.
right. Just exactly.
You're not keeping it real,
no,
man.
No. And now, think about it, it's everywhere.
Right.
It's everywhere. All right.
Now it's auto-tuned.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to... There's a story that came out, and I'm going to specifically be a little negligent on details.
All
because
right.
I don't want to give too much away. But I figure something like this, we could almost do this weekly. And maybe we can rotate whatever we can have people weigh in, whatever they want. At Harry Mays TU, at Shander Show for me. Bama or Florida? All right?
Okay.
So every day there's a story of belligerence, insanity, fill in the blank. That
oh, Bama's
out.
Now included in this? Because
oh,
Florida's
yeah.
always been the
no,
place.
No, no, Alabama has successfully... Alabama is like college football in popularity to the NFL.
Mm.
So it's like a legit 1A. Now, there's a difference between 1 and 1A.
Mm.
But it's risen. Trust me. Go to, I think it's AL.com,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's basically FARC. The state site of news has turned into FARC.com
okay.
because it's just belligerence. So it's Bama or Florida. And I figure I'd give you a story and you tell me which one
All right.
it is. All right. Police had to shut down traffic on a major interstate and actually barricade off a section of a spilled over 16-wheeler.
16-wheeler.
Or whatever the hell they're called.
18-wheeler.
18-wheeler, right.
Yeah.
18-wheeler. Because it spilled out tons of chicken fingers and people were actually getting out of their car.
To eat the chicken fingers?
Off the road.
But they're raw. They're not even cooked.
Oh, no, they were being delivered to, you know, the gas stations that have them like that?
Oh, okay.
They come cooked.
Okay.
All right. So it was...
I thought this was like a Tyson chicken tractor trailer with like frozen...
No. It was this big truck that spilled over with warm, cooked...
Gas station food.
Yeah, exactly. Right. This isn't somebody who split their own tenders and hand rolled them
right.
in their own breading.
Right.
No, this is as cheap as it gets as far as
I'll quality. Say that's Alabama.
Yeah. Now
yeah.
why?
I don't
tell me how you
just,
deduce down to Alabama.
I could just kind of see it. I could see it like on I-10 going through the southern portion of Alabama before you get into Mississippi.
Okay. Is that down by Tuscaloosa?
Going towards Biloxi. No, Tuscaloosa is up north from there.
Okay.
10 runs along the coast,
okay.
kind of near the coast, the Gulf.
Okay, what's down there?
Mobile.
Mobile, that's
Mobile,
what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is somewhere off Mobile?
That's what I'm thinking.
Right? Now,
yeah.
now think about this. How hungry do you have to be, or how good? That must be the one thing that's really good down there. I mean, or do you just attribute it to people being zombies and they'll eat anything?
I think they're zombies and they'll eat anything. A free meal.
Well,
everybody's looking for a free meal.
Can you just take a second before
mm-hmm.
we get out of here
yeah.
and think about this story?
Yeah.
Enough people were getting out of their car to eat chicken tenders.
That they had to barricade it.
And
yeah.
issue a warning.
Right.
Don't do it. If anybody thinks there's any hope for this, for the
humanity,
human race,
yeah.
my goodness, or at least this country, like
right.
whoever's planning on sending the missiles, just go fucking ahead at this point.
I know.
Like, what is happening here? All right. At Harry Mays to you, at Shander Show. Check us out, thebrandedsports.com.
Right. And also, Fan Cred, we're doing Sixers games. We're going to be doing one per week. I think we're up for tomorrow night.
Fourth quarter live.
Fourth quarter live.
Download the app.
Fan Cred, FanCred.
Awesome. Anything else you want to slide in here?
That's it.
All right. So we'll start looking at some other stuff as, I don't know, we'll always find something to talk about. Live from where? what do you want to call this place?
Shea Shander.
Okay.
There
not,
you go.
Not Shea Serrano.
No.
Or, do you know another Shea?
Who?
Isn't that that guy on Twitter? There's a Shea Serrano?
No.
All right.
No.
Give me another
Shea. Shea is C-H-E, though, I think. Like.
Oh, I thought it was S-H. No. EA as the name.
No, that's Shea Stadium. You're talking about Shea Stadium.
Right.
Yeah, you screwed this up before.
All right, we're out.
It's CHE, I believe.
For Harry Mays, Eitan Shander, number 11. And let us remind everybody, this is the. Chris is off. So I don't want anybody thinking like the normal production element of the show.
Yeah.
That Chris just fell asleep or
no.
something. He's off. So that's why we're doing it the Shander way.
The video is a little grainy. We apologize. We're well aware of this.
We'll see you next week.